growth, and we've been looking at three key characters or key identities that we have in as Christians. And today we're going to look at two scriptures, two passages from Genesis chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter 11. I'd like to invite everybody to please stand up. If you have a Bible with you, open it to Genesis chapter 5. And we'll be reading from verses 18 to 24. And then put a marker on that, then open also as well to Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 5 and 6. Okay? Genesis 5 first, verses 18 to 24, and Hebrews 11, verses 5 to 6. So those of you who do not have Bibles, we're going to flash the verses here on the screen. Let's read this together. Let's begin with Genesis 5, 18 to 24. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. And after he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived 962 years and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. And altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, then he was no more because God took him away. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. Let's read this. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you because you are indeed the true God. We are able to come before you today to worship you in songs and right now to worship you through the study of your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit will move in a special way in our midst this morning. Speak to us, encourage us, remind us of our walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may now take your seats. I want to begin today's session with a bit of an audience participation. I want you to turn to the person next to you and answer this very simple question, okay? Just for maybe a few seconds or maybe a minute. Here's the question. What comes to your mind when you hear the word ordinary? Okay, what comes to your mind when you hear the word ordinary? Come on, a little bit of an audience participation. So what are some of your answers? Regular? Not Diet Coke? Plain and simple. You know, I think most of us would agree that we live in a generation that loves superlatives. We want everything that's extraordinary. We want something that's exceptional. We want impressives. We want the bang. We want the fireworks. We want the lights, di ba? And we are raising a culture that fosters that kind of thinking. You know, if you end every high school graduation, every college graduation will have the same graduation speech. Change the world, right? Break out of the ordinary. Do something important. Carpe diem, di ba? And that's why a lot of young people today, they look in awe at a 16-year-old girl who's spoke against what? The elite, because they would do anything against the environment. You know Greta, right? Or they listen to a YouTuber named PewDiePie, because after all, he has what? 100 million followers. He must have something really, really important to say. Now, for the Gen Xers and the boomers, we look at people, what? like Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Michael Jordan, Madonna, right? Generational heroes. Now the church, we're not spared either. We hear the same message among the youth, the young professionals. In Christian lingo, it sounds like God's will for you is that you will have a life of adventure. Go out there, make a difference. Do something big for God, right? Now, of course, these statements help us to remind us that our focus must be on the mission that God has given to us, diba? That we must also recognize that we have limited time, we have limited resources, and so that we must make sure that we are spending and living our lives on things that matter. Amen? Do you agree? But there's also an implication when we hear the call to do something big for God. It also makes us think that, okay, if we are to do something big for God, that means we are currently not doing something that matters to God. Because let's face it, for most of us in this room, tomorrow will be ordinary, right? We're not going to get a call from the president. Nobody's going to whisk us off to some exotic place that we can do something radical for Jesus. Some of us will go to work. Some will change diapers. Some of us will pay the bills, study for exams. Oh, sure, there's going to be some occasional interruption in our routines, but by and large, we live a fairly regular life because we are fairly ordinary people. And that is why the biblical character that we're going to look at today is closer to home for most of us. We look at the life of Enoch. And when we look at Enoch, you know, you can just read his account in just a few verses. We read one in Genesis. We read the one in Hebrews. He's mentioned also in Jude. Quick passing in Chronicles as well as in Luke, I think. Yes, Luke. Okay, now all in all, no more than 50 words from the Bible. And here's the thing. There is nothing in the biblical account that will indicate to us that Enoch did anything other than the ordinary. He was an ordinary, regular guy like you and me. And yet, when you read Hebrews chapter 11, when you look at that list, how many of you have read Hebrews 11? Wala. A lot of you have read Hebrews. In Hebrews 11, you will see there a list of names, right, of heroes of the faith. And when you read Hebrews 11, you will find the name of Enoch there listed as a man of faith. Now, here's something very interesting. When you read Hebrews 11, there's this phrase, by faith. By faith is mentioned 21 times in Hebrews 11, and in those 21 times, it is linked with the name of a person. Now, 20 of the 21 times that you will find this phrase by faith in Hebrews 11, it's followed by the name of a person and then followed by an action verb. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham offered a sacrifice, and so on. By faith, a name, an action was taken. Goes on and on. 20 of the 21 times of this by faith statements, something was done. Now that tells us that faith is not just an idea that you hear. Faith is not just something that is proclaimed. It's something that moves a person to action, right? Faith is not just something that we believe. It's something that causes us to do what is right. Faith is action. But this by faith statement, when coupled with the name of Enoch, we'll find, 20 out of the 21, and so the 20th other time, the only time that it's coupled with the word, the name of Enoch, we see that doesn't tell us anything that he did. Look at verse 5. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. By faith, Enoch was no more. Poof. He didn't experience death. That's all. What happened? Now, when you read Hebrews 11, it's like a primer of the history of Israel. We see a list of great names, no? Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Joseph, Samuel, David. The list goes on. And in this list are the heroes of the faith. And if you think about it, you say, okay, Abraham, I know what he did, right? That's why he's on the list. David, Joseph, we know what he did. But Enoch? Why is he on the list? Now, we understand why the other people are on this list, but what did Enoch do? Which brings us to a very important question this morning. What do we do to get on the list of God? What do we do to get on God's favorite list? And we all have an answer for that. Most of the time, our answer is something like this. I want to do something great for God. Okay, I want to do something marvelous for God so that God's favor will be upon me. And if I don't, patay, you know, I'm just nothing. But here's the thing again, as I've said earlier, a lot of us are just ordinary people. We're not going to do something that Noah did. We're not going to be doing something that Moses did. And when you go back to the account in Genesis 5, of the life of Enoch, all you will find is a simple description. In fact, that description just tells us something about Enoch. Let's look at it again. Genesis 5, verses 22 and 24. Now, after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch what? Walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Verse 24, it says, Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. So the description that we find of Enoch is simply this, that he walked with God. He walked with God. What does it mean to walk with God? That's the main question that I want to tackle this morning. I'm going to use three very simple life illustrations about walking with God. I want to relate it with the life of Enoch so that it's easier for us to remember. Now, I want to warn you. I'm going to share something to you today that's shattering. No, I'm just kidding. It's something that you already know. Okay? I'm not going to share something that's new. No rocket science this morning. You already know this. And the fact is, we know this. If you're a believer, you know that you are to be walking with God. And so let me just sum up our thesis this morning with a simple statement. And it's that our walk with God sets our devotion, our direction, and our duty in this life. Our walk with God sets our devotion, our direction, and our duty in this life. Devotion has to do with our relationship. Direction has to do with our mission. Duty has to do with our spiritual health. So I'm going to use three simple illustrations, life illustrations. Let's look at the first one. Okay, our walk with God sets our devotion. Now, most of you, I think maybe all of us here have probably tried to walk being in Cebu, right? We have probably one time or another walked in the beach with someone, right? With a friend or a loved one. Or maybe you went to a mountain resort with a friend and you took a leisurely walk together. As you walked, you know, maybe part of the time you talked, part of the time you didn't. You might have stopped a little bit to enjoy the scenery or breathe in the cool air, right? And that's really, there's really no agenda. You were just walking together. Diba? Now, from the beginning of creation, when you read the scriptures, God's intent has always been that he wants to walk with his people and that his people will walk with him. When you read the story of Adam and Eve in Genesis, it tells us that God was walking with them in the cool of the day. You will see this thread all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. Leviticus, for example, says this. Leviticus 26, verse 12, it says, I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. And the idea of a walk is a walk that is what? Has to do with the relationship, right? First of all, of course, it doesn't mean that you have to be a recluse or you have to become a monk so that you can walk with God. It doesn't mean that you have to pull away from society and so that you can have this godly life to walk with God. But there are some people, we know of some monks, they go to the mountains, they live their entire lives there because they think they will become more spiritual or more godly. But here's the thing. Enoch lived a normal life with normal cares, with normal responsibilities. Notice when you read the verses in Genesis chapter 5, what does it say? It says Enoch was born, he became the father of Methuselah, he lived 365 years, he had a family, he had kids, and we read that he walked with God as he was carrying all of these responsibilities. So walking with God doesn't mean you pull out of this world. Walking with God doesn't mean you have to stop your jobs. Walking with God doesn't mean you have to stop going to school. Walking with God also means that all of us can walk with God. Amen. Now, secondly, the most important thing is that walking with God means that there's a close friendship. There's a relationship. This means that God talked with Enoch. It means that he had a relationship with him. He heard from God that God was leading him, that God took his life, and he was basically walking with God, just like when you're two of you are walking on the beach together. You talk, you're spending time, there's a relationship happening. Now in verse 21, it tells us that Enoch fathered a guy or Methuselah, diba? I remember this name, Methuselah, always. So in Sunday school, when there's a game that happens and it says, who's the oldest person in the Bible? And the answer is? Okay, if you don't know that, it's Methuselah. So Bible trivia for you. He's the oldest guy who lived in the Bible. That's 969 years. But here's something that scholars tell us that's very interesting. The name Methuselah means when he is dead, it shall be sent. Or his death will bring about it. Okay? John MacArthur says that this meant when he dies, the judgment will be sent. You know what? The year that Methuselah died was the year that the flood of Noah came. God let Methuselah live longer than anyone else. It's a picture of his extended grace in the face of judgment. But when Methuselah died, the flood came. Question, how did Enoch know to name Methuselah? And the easiest answer I can think of is this. Because he walked with God. In fact, when you read Jude chapter 1, there's only one chapter, verses 14 and 15, you will read there that Enoch preached to his people about the oncoming judgment of God. How did he know? He walked with God. There's a nearness that comes with God that happens, that is cultivated through time when we walk with him. You become interested in what matters to God. You will have close communion. You will hear from him. You will be sensitive to his leading. That's what walking with God is all about, because it's all about a relationship. You will hear about couples who have been married for 30, 40, 50 years, and the husband or the wife will just look at the husband and say, kasabot na dahil ang husband. Kaya nga naman. They have been together for so long. There's this close communion that they know each other already so much. That's what happens when we walk in close communion with God. But the thing is, today we live in a very busy and very hurried world. And sometimes, you know, when we are in the same room with one, the same with somebody, we are not even connecting with them, because why? We are on our phones. And many times, our relationship with God is like that. Many times, you know, we let the distractions of this world, we let the many things that bother us disconnect us with the living God. Now, we are not worthy to walk with God, but we know the Bible tells us, and I believe reminds us today, that God made a way for us to have a relationship with Him. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6, the writer tells us, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Now, there were two guys in the gym. They were having this conversation. And one of the guys said, "You know what? My wife treats me like a god." And the other guy says, "Wow, you mean he adores you and worships you?" And the guy said, "No, she ignores me until she needs something." You know what? A lot of times, that's how we treat God, right? We come and sing to God on Sundays. We learn about Him in the Bible study. And when we're troubled, we want Him to be just right there. But we're not walking with Him. We want Him to be part of our life. God, dihat lang ka, ha? And we place Him on the shelf, and we just get back when we need Him. We just say, "God, okay, I need you now. Please be here." But on the ordinary or the usual, where is God in our lives? Enoch walked with God. There was a relationship. This was the foundation. That's the foundation of Christianity. Amen? The Christianity is all about having a relationship with God. The Bible tells us that when you receive Jesus, when you receive Him as your Lord and Savior, He makes us His children. That's in John chapter 1, verse 12. So our walk with God sets the devotion, the direction, and the duty of our life. So that's the first one, the devotion. That we begin to know Him. We walk with Him. He leads us, He guides us, He teaches us, He tells us what to do. The second thing, second illustration, we use the word direction. Okay? Devotion, relationship, our love relationship with God. Direction means our mission, what we need to do. You know, last year, we had the privilege of going to the Holy Land because somebody, a well-meaning family, gifted us with that trip. You know, it's no small thing to be able to go to Israel. It's a lot of money. So we were so thankful to the Lord for that opportunity to go. And in that particular trip, of course, as with any trip, we had to go from Mactan to Manila, from Manila to Istanbul, from Istanbul to Tel Aviv. Now, I remember that particular flight when we were going to Manila, and we arrived in Manila at the domestic airport, and we realized that there's a connecting flight, and it's not going to be on the same airport. You know what I mean? There are three airports or four airports in Manila. And so we landed in one terminal, and we had to go to another terminal, which was not on the same building. So when we arrived there, I was already in mission mode. We have to get to Naiya because we have a connecting flight from Naiya to Istanbul. And knowing how difficult it is to move from one place to another in Manila, I began to be stressed. I was, you know, my wife was telling me, "Relax, lang dear, we have enough time." But you know, I was never at ease. I would not be at ease until I was in front of the check-in counter of Turkish Airlines in the other airport. And you know what happened? We took the Grab taxi to travel something like 5 to 10 minutes. And we arrived at the next airport. When we arrived at Naiya, we had to wait at the check-in counter. It was still closed. And we were supposed to meet with some people we do not know who were going with us on the same flight. But the thing is, the mood, the idea of going from one place to another, that walk that I had with my wife was not a leisurely walk in the beach. It was a walk with a purpose. We wanted, we had to get there. We needed to get there. And so there are walks that we do together. And sometimes it's a mission that we need to get something done. And that's the second word, direction. And some of us are probably thinking like that. Well, when it came to Enoch, he probably had it easy, right? I mean, God did not ask him to lead a million people out of Egypt like Moses. Or God didn't let him face a giant like Goliath or ask him to go to another place like Abraham. Let me read to you Genesis chapter 6, a description of the era and the times when Enoch lived. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. It says, "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time." And if you have read this particular passage in the scripture, you already know this, is that this came before the flood. So this was the kind of situation that Enoch lived in. Now, Enoch did not walk with God simply because it was easy to walk with God. He lived in a very wicked time, and yet we read that he walked with God. It wasn't easy then, and it's not easy now or ever to walk with the Lord, right? Most of the people that surround us today are not walking with God. But one very important takeaway from this, is that for you and I, that it is possible by the grace of God to walk with him even when others don't, even when you live in a very ungodly environment. And that might be your workplace. It might describe your neighborhood. It might describe the school that you attend or even the home that you live in. You might have an unbelieving spouse. You might have children who do not know God. But it is possible to walk with God as Enoch did, even when others around you do not. When you read the story, when you think about it, Enoch lived a distinctive life. If you walk with God during the many years or the few years he gives you here on earth, your life will go in a very clear direction, the direction that God wants you to go. And people will know. Because only a person with a real walk with God will be able to stand firm in today's generation. You agree with that? Now, I don't know what that looks like for you, though. And I don't know what the Holy Spirit is saying to your heart right now. How is your walk with God when it comes to his direction for your life? Perhaps it's a compromise in the workplace. Or maybe you have lost your saltiness as a student because you cheat a lot. Or maybe you have this specific calling that you have turned your back on. Or maybe you're too focused on the wrong thing or in a wrong relationship. Could be a matter of trust. God is calling you to trust him. Trust me here. Or maybe it's a timetable that you have set. That really is not the timetable of God. God, 30 na ko, Lord. Maluoy taon ka. Uban ka ni, 40 na, wapag yun. Or maybe it's a matter of obedience. And all I'm saying is this. When you walk with God, people will know because they will see where you are headed. They will see your direction. Our walk with God sets our devotion, it sets our direction. And the third is this, also sets our duty in life. So we talked about a walk that's relational, we talked about a walk that's directional. There's a third kind of walk we might call the power walk or the exercise walk. And the reason is, you know, you do the walk not because, you know, you have to go somewhere. You do it because you need to exercise. You want the blood flowing. You want to burn some calories. And people today, you know, some of them, they have these watches, right? They wear these watches which tells them how much calories they have lost, how many steps they have taken. And you want to keep healthy and you do the exercise walk. Some of you go to the gym, right? Do the treadmill so that you will be able to burn some calories. Now in Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, here's what it says. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. So the Bible tells us that he walked with God all the way until the time of his death for 300 years. Think about that. Don't you think that's pretty consistent? Right? Now, we all know that walking with God doesn't just accidentally happen. It's not something that's automatic. It's something that we need to do consciously, intentionally, and consistently. In Amos chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so." Our walk with God involves a conscious, deliberate choice on our part. We agree that we're going to walk with each other. We're not just going to slide into it. We're not just going to slip into it. You know, we hear some people say, you know what, when I grow old, I want to be able to walk with God. You know what? If you're not walking with God today, you are not likely going to be walking with God when you're old. Because it has to be a consistent, continuous way, a habit that you need to cultivate today. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. You know what happens with us? We get so fired up when we hear this really powerful message, or we come to worship and we're crying our hearts out, and wow, I could feel the presence of God. I want to walk with God. And the thing is, we are hot and cold. We have starts and stops. When we get out of the room, we forget all about it. This was a relationship with God that affected every area of Enoch's life, as it will be with ours. And you know, when you hear the word duty, sometimes, you know, the word duty is a dirty word, right? We don't like it. But the idea of a walk that is a duty is something like it's good for you. And we're saying that, you know what? Nothing is going to keep me from my walk with God. And the simple application, the simple question that I want to ask all of us here today is simply this. How much time do you spend in reading the Word of God every day? How much time do you spend in meditating on the Word of God today? In prayer? 5 minutes? 10? Even 30? How much time do you spend on Facebook? On Twitter? Just scrolling? There's a story about this guy named Ignace Jan Paderewski. He was a renowned Polish pianist who lived in the first half of the 20th century. His government requested him that he play at concerts in order to raise money. But he had one request. He said, "I will do it on one condition, that you allow me to continue to play the scales for 3 hours a day, and you pay me for 8. And the government said, sure, why not? But the question is, why would someone like Paderewski, a great talent, a renowned pianist, play scales for 3 hours a day? And here's his answer. He says, "If I skip one day of scales when I play in the concert, I will notice it. If I skip 2 days of scales, my coach will notice. If I skip 3 days, the world will notice." Isn't it true that when we skip our time with God for a day, we notice? When we skip it for 2 days, our spouse, our kids, our friends notice. When we skip it for 3 days, the world notices. We become spiritually weak. Now, I do want us to see here that 300 years that Enoch walked is a reminder for us as well that the one who calls is also the one who keeps. Right? God called Enoch. It is God who also sustained him. It is God who also kept him. Because truth is this, we're all going to falter somewhere, right? we're going to miss the boat sometimes. But it is God who keeps us. It is God who sustains us. It is God who strengthens us. And our walk with God sets our devotion, our direction, and our duty. Let me ask you a question. Did you learn something new today? It's not anything new, right? We're just being reminded today that our walk with God is supremely important. We have a walk that's relational, called it devotion. We have an exercise walk. It's a duty. We have a walk that we want to go somewhere. It's a direction. Sometimes our walk with God is about a mission. It's something that we need to do. It's following His will. It's obeying Him. There's a goal, right? There's a deadline. There's a direction. But if that's all your walk is with God, then you have missed it entirely, right? The mission is part of it, but that is not the core. There are other times when we have to walk in discipline so that we can stay healthy. Amen? We get up, we read our Bibles, we pray, we take the time because we know we need to keep to be spiritually healthy. But if our walk with God is something like that, like ticking a box and saying, you know what, I've done it, it's from my to-do list, then we miss it as well. Because ultimately, every other kind of walk flows out of our relationship with Him. Our walk with God is a relational walk first and foremost. It is being with Him. There's no goal. You don't have to monitor your heart rate. You don't need to know how much steps you took. The whole point is just to be together. Where you go, it's irrelevant. How long it took, it's not important. How much is accomplished, doesn't matter. All that matters is that you are walking together. And a simple thing, a simple way for you to find out if you're walking with God is a healthy walk, is simply this. Are you loving Him more and more today? I remember the story of Wayne Cordero. He was sharing about the time when he was still courting his wife. And his wife loved sports. But there was two kinds of sports that he never liked. I think it was bowling and skiing. One time his girlfriend was telling him, "You know, let's go bowling. Do you like bowling?" And I said, "Yes, I like bowling." He said that because, you know, he wanted to be with the girl. He wanted to be with her. But you know what? Eventually, as time went by, he began to like bowling. He began to like the things that he did not like. You know why? Because he loved his wife. Because he had this relationship with this person. And that is ultimately the question that we need to ask ourselves when it comes to our walk with God. Are we loving Him more today than we did yesterday? Are we growing in our devotion for Him? Because out of all of that will flow everything else. Three simple reminders, right? Devotion, direction, and duty. Now, Charles Spurgeon wrote a message about Enoch, and this is what he said. He said, "No life can surpass that of a man who quietly continues to serve God in the place where providence has placed him." I think that's a nice, beautiful description of Enoch. No great exploits are said of him. No big chapters in the Bible were written for his accomplishments. He was Enoch, ordinary guy. He had a family. He had kids. He lived the ordinary life just like you and me. And he walked with God. And the Bible tells us that Enoch was one of two people in the whom God took to heaven. Right? The other one is, you know who the other one is? Elijah, right? When you read the story of Elijah being taken up into heaven, you read about what? Chariots of fire, a whirlwind, right? That sends him to heaven. But when you read about Enoch, nothing. No witnesses. It says, verse 24, Enoch walked with God and he was no more because God took him away. And so for Enoch, there was no funeral, no burial, no grave. But it reminds us that life is not all there is. Life is not all there is. It points us to the reality of an afterlife and of the foolishness of living for this life alone. Because ultimately, as we walk with God, we will get there. He has placed eternity in the hearts of men. You and I, if you're a Christian today, we don't live just this life. God will bring that. God will bring us there. And you know what? You and I can get so caught up with the things of this world, or we can be faithfully walking with God today. So even when Enoch is not around anymore, he still speaks to us today. And I pray that you and I will be encouraged and will be reminded of our devotion, our direction, and our duty. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for a simple reminder from your word. Thank you that you have made a way for us. Thank you for what Christ has done for us. Thank you that you loved us so much, that you want to be with us, that you want to walk with us. Lord, we pray, as we are reminded today, that you will enable us, you will strengthen us, you will help us. Even for those of us who might be going through some tough times, that we might be able to walk with you, not only today, but throughout our lifetime. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's all stand up for one final song.